So I would like to call the meeting to order at, my watch says 10:33 a.m.
Did we have the recorder on?
Yes, can we?
Okay.
Yes, can we have a roll call? Trustee Hanacek?
Here.
Trustee Parham?
Here.
Trustee Perry?
Here.
Trustee Davis?
Here.
Trustee Kelly?
Here.
All right. Can we all stand for the pledge, please? Right hand over your heart. Ready?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda for today.
So moved.
Second.
Motion. Trustee Davis, and second, Trustee Perry.
Do we have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 5-0.
All right. Okay, so that takes us to the Executive Director's Report. So, all right. So first of all, just want to welcome everyone. Thank you so much for being a part of the CCA board. We're excited. We have new members this time around, so super excited to have new perspectives and new learnings that we can glean from them. And special thank you today for having our alternates in place so that we have a full board and a quorum for this meeting. So I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. Next item I have is something we're super proud of, and it's actually right behind you on that table. So that's our Golden Bell Award that we were fortunate enough to receive from CSBA in partnership with CUSD for our CTE program overall. Our application focused heavily on the expansion into elementary schools this year with the ICANN program, which is proving to be very, very unique. Others that I talked to across the state are their ears perk up when we start talking about what we're doing with elementary school students. So I'm sure we'll have several folks that are going to want to come and visit and take a look at that as we go forward. So we're super, super proud of that. And obviously none of that happens without the support of the board, without the support of the district. So again, thank you all so much for all of your support as we continue to innovate and grow and do fantastic things for kids. So speaking of the ICANN program, we just started training. I think we've mentioned this a couple times in our board reports, but we have our CTE ambassadors that are being trained in the tools that were deployed for the ICANN program at the elementary school. So our high school students will be going down starting next semester to the elementary schools and running after school ICANN camps with the kids. And a side benefit of that is teachers that might want to learn more about how to use the tools are welcome, and they will be a part of that as well. So kind of a twofer in terms of training. And Nicole's been heading that up with one of the members of CUSD in the instructional tech division. And we had our first training the week before last.
Wasn't it? December 5th.
December 5th was our first training. In our board last Friday about that. But really excited about that. That's a great opportunity for the kids to give back and to interact with the elementary school kids. They all get so excited when high school kids come down and interact with them. So we're super, super happy that that's kicking off. Nicole, do you have anything else you'd like to say about that or add in the work that you and Lana have been doing with that?
Yeah, I mean, they had their first training last week, December 5th. So our next step is teaming up the ambassadors with the appropriate sites. So interestingly enough, we pulled the kids on their availability, and the highest availability was Friday after school. So we have a really great group of kids that are excited to get in there and learn. A lot of them have a CTE. Well, all of our ambassadors have a CTE foundation, but a lot of them have programming and coding knowledge and robotics knowledge. So they picked up on the tools very, very quickly. I think we have 20 of the elementary school teachers that have already responded with their availability, and we have 23 ambassadors that are available to volunteer. So now we're just working on mapping availabilities for school sites with students, and then our plan is to roll out in January and start teaming those students up to come on campus and work with the classes. So yeah,
the ambassadors have been fantastic.
Yes.
They are so great.
Yeah, they're great.
Everyone who spoke with, they're just fabulous and just love it and have such a light in the knowledge, which is cool.
Yeah, they're great kids.
Yeah, they're
wonderful for both age groups. Now, is Laguna included in that?
In the ICANN, unfortunately,
they can, but they don't want to be. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I know.
They can transfer.
But we have ambassadors, so.
Yeah, we do have ambassadors for Laguna. Yeah. Next item that I have for you is currently, as in like right now, we have a CTE roadshow, we call it, going on. So every year we take members of the counseling department that are new counselors, new guidance techs. Today, Meg Irvis from the district and Lana from IT are on the tour as well. So we take them around to our CTE sites. We take them to the adult campus, let them see the labs. We take them to one of the schools so they can see some of the programs there as well, so that we begin to give them the broad picture of what is there in terms of offerings for students. So when they're talking to students and counseling students, they can speak with firsthand knowledge of what those opportunities are. They can share with the students specifically what a lab looks like. So it's not just, oh yeah, it looks kind of like a hospital room. No, they can say, no, they've got this and this and this. So we up their ability to market and promote the CTE courses to kids when it's appropriate to work with them to try to find a class that fit into their schedule that the students would be interested in. So we had, how many do we have today? We have 12?
We have 13.
13? Okay. So we have 13 folks that went on the tour today. We had another tour we just had done last week. So we covered all the folks that were interested in going and all of our new folks for this year. So we'll continue to do that as new people come on board. Actually, Kelly for Laguna is on the trip as well, along with Stacy,
okay.
Your new K-16 tech.
Yeah.
She's on the trip as well. So it'll be the first time she's seen the labs. So that was fantastic that they were able to come. So let's see. Oh, this was really exciting. Saw this for the first time this morning. So CCA, we started on this project a little while ago. Dom started on this, and I'll turn it over to him here in a second. The South Bay Workforce Development Board has a website that the WEO offices in the area will direct adults to when they're looking for retraining and opportunities. So we weren't listed on that site. So Dom's been working with the board to get our adult programs listed on the site. So we are now actively posted on the website. You're only allowed to have three programs on there. So we have medical assisting, surgical, and pharmacy listed on the site. So now anybody that's looking for training on the site, when you go, there's lots of empty cells. So you can just type in what you're looking for. You can type in the name of the organization, and it pops up providers below. So if you type in medical assisting, we pop up along with all the other providers as an opportunity for folks. And then the hope is that they then live in this area, that they would be able to reach out to us and potentially enroll in any of our adult programs that we have over at the CCA campus. So we're really excited to have that extra layer of marketing out there for folks to be able to find us and find our services. So, Dom, sir, did I leave anything out? Or
no, the only thing is I was looking for something in Orange County, more for Southern Orange County, and there really is nothing that's similar to this iTrain website, and they have Orange County schools on there and LA County schools, so we fit right in with all the programs that are listed. The only thing I could think of is the One Stop that just reopened recently, and I reached out to them and asked them if they have a similar list, something like that we can be listed on as well. So,
awesome.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah, always looking ways to market, get our name out there for folks so they can find us as easily as possible. Next item, I just wanted to give a quick update. I was going to ask him to give a quick update on where we're at with our Mission Hospital and a couple other partners that we've been looking at for some additional internship opportunities for our students.
So tomorrow is our first, I guess we're calling it a graduation, so we've had the first regional group of students who are in our after school, any of our medical programs. So they've completed the rotation. They rotate through about 15 different departments in the hospital. They go at 1:30 to like 3:34, they go over to the hospital, they rotate through the different departments, and then the following week they switch. And they've done this now since the beginning of the school year, and they're doing it the first semester, and tomorrow will be the first day that I get like feedback. I had a little bit of feedback. One of the kids came to me, and I met him at our college trip. And I said, I recognize you. He's like, yeah, I'm the one that was, he said, so great, I love it. Oh my God, I'm in pathology. And all this, and I was like, wow, no one would have thought pathology was going to be so exciting, but he was so excited about it. So that was just really cool. Like literally the second week he was so excited. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what they have to say about all the different departments. We're going to meet with them and kind of just determine what worked, what didn't work, other departments that aren't so cool, and maybe we readjust for the next year. So we're going to start every fall. We're set with them. That was Gila. Gila really pressured them. Imagine that. She pressured them into feeling, I think, that they were not doing enough for their local schools. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of gave them the little bit of spark to really work with us. Meanwhile, I reached out to Memorial, reached out to us. They really have a great program too, and they want to do a similar program. They're just, you know, getting through the red tape. And then City of Hope was another one that they all reached out to us. And then of course we facilitate, you know, we're like, whatever you need. I've given them everything they need. I've given them our contracts. So they just have to kind of get through the red tape. So hopefully that'll be another opportunity. And we really liked that we did it regionally. That's not how we set out to be regionally, but it ended up being, I think, the best way. So that gives every student who's been in the medical program to rotate through. So I like that. And then they're specifically going to do one for Laguna because they have the smaller hospital up there, and you guys have a smaller group, so it's a perfect fit. So we're going to work on doing that. Even though your Laguna kids are welcome in this, if they applied, right, they were able to get in also. But being closer to you guys, we think it'll be a benefit.
So that might be next fall.
Yeah, fall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We might get a few more kids to participate when it's more local for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you very much. So the next item I had was just going to give an update real quick on the college, the career fair. And Nicole's been spearheading that work.
Yeah, so we're going to host the first ever career fair next in the spring. So we're really going to hit the ground running with reaching out to business and industry partners, but we do have our career guidance specialist, Autumn, working on the career fair. We have a marketing flyer that we've already been distributing. We're working with our local Chamber of Commerce through our K-12 pathway coordinator, Dave. So he's making connections as well. And we're really excited. We're also working with a student group called Engage, and they are involved with connecting students to opportunities. So we met with them, and we're gonna have them host a table at the event. So we're really excited. It's a great opportunity for our teachers to reconnect with our business partners, meet additional business partners. So as we get more information on vendors and whatnot, we will share with you guys. We also have Autumn creating a landing page on the CCA website. So you'll be able to go to that website, access all the information on the upcoming career fair. But it'll be hosted at San Juan Hills in March.
So check the sheet. Go ahead.
No, I just have a question. So amazing. So are students going to be coming to the career fair?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, when they go to college, this is, you live and breathe by these career fairs. Are they going to have an opportunity with your guidance people ahead of time to help them walk through, maybe they do a simple resume, mm-hmm, a letter, how they introduce themselves? So that's just good for just general practice as they go through the booths with everyone. So just was wondering about that.
Great question. Yes. So as you know, our career guidance specialists are actually teamed up with a futurology counselor in the Career Center.
Nice.
So they are working together, collaborating. Futurology already has a mock interview template that they use every year. So what we did was we planned it so that students will have the opportunity to participate in a career workshop and webinar on building a resume and doing mock interview skills prior to the career fair. And then we're going to do a follow-up presentation with them after the career fair. So we're trying to sandwich those webinars on either side so that they get that opportunity before they go and meet with potential employees.
Do they include LinkedIn? Because remember our discussion a while back was, now with the young people getting these certifications, it's going to be a link on their LinkedIn. So I am seeing more and more young people, our seniors and even juniors, developing their LinkedIn page. So you guys could walk them through that as well, because that's where they'll be directed to that source as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have not talked about if LinkedIn is a component of that, but I'm happy to suggest that. But I'll defer to Paul, because I know CCA is currently in the process of creating digital badges that students
can use.
Yeah,
that's what I
was,
and then we talked
yes.
about those were
yeah.
going to be on their LinkedIn,
yeah.
that digital badge.
Yeah.
So then that the employer can go right there. So really, very cool, good, good. You know, so they don't have to be cold anymore trying to figure out how to get a job, right, Mike?
I have a point as well. I don't know if you were able to see it, but at the CSBA conference, they had a table talk or a presentation regarding career days and potential grant availability from the state.
I didn't see it. I didn't attend the actual conference.
I'll track that down. I actually went to it, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm sure we look at all these types of grants, but just in case.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be great. Yeah, okay. For sure. And to your point, I had one of our robotic students reached out to me over the weekend on LinkedIn and wanted to connect. So they're
in
the space.
They're learning how to use it, and the more they use that and figure it out, the better.
Absolutely. And I looked at the registration sheet for or talked to Dave, excuse me, last night about the registration sheet, and he had checked it. And we're about 25 companies that have already signed up, and that's multiple months out. And he said a lot of the contacts that he's making. The response he's getting is let us get through the change, you know, through the holidays, get through the break, and you know, when it gets a little bit closer to time, then we'll swing back. And that's what we expected. My target in the back of my mind was if we could get 50 employers the first run, that I would be super, super happy. And to already have 25 this far out, I'm feeling real good about us being able to hit that mark.
Can you circulate a list of those companies?
We can pull them out. Yeah.
And I promise I won't talk to anyone without your knowledge, but in case it's my company, for example, I'd like to know about it.
You want to know who signed you up, right?
Go ahead and put his name on the list.
And you know, we do have about 25 business partners, but I just want to give kudos to Autumn. She's our CGS that's spearheading that. She has had to fill out so many community release forms, so like with Orange County Fire Authority and our sheriffs. So a lot of those are pending. They have to go through the process of approval. So we're anticipating getting more vendors from our local community, but she's had to do a lot of that legwork to get that pushed through. So
and maybe I could be a little bit like Gila and shake the leaves a little bit and make a response. Okay.
And somebody had mentioned at one point, I think it was Chris, Dr. Brown, excuse me, that we were in a meeting and he wanted to ensure that the CUSD departments were represented there as well, and we've already spoken with them, and so all the departments will be represented at the career fair. Yep, absolutely.
And those three big hospitals that I mentioned, I sent also to them, and so far one of the three have signed up. They all were very interested, but they all want to sign up for it too. So and they're close.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. It'll be a really fun event. I'm excited. About getting it together. So in the past, we've talked a little bit about the governor's order, CTE, executive order that had come out. So I won't go back into all that with you, but I just wanted to share a couple of new pieces that we heard recently at our coalition meeting. They had been talking to legislative staff, our advocate group had been talking to legislative staff, and they're hearing language from the staff that the executive order is most likely, and again, these are their words, going to kind of take the place of what AB 377 was trying to do with the consolidation of CTIG and K-12 Strong Workforce and redesign the formula for CTIG so that we're not giving money back because the law says you can't go back and redistribute anything that didn't come out formulaically the first time through and all that. So the feedback we were getting, or the information we were getting, was that we may not see another push force a separate piece of legislation like AB 377 this coming round, as where in the past that was the intent for the sponsor of that legislation to bring that again and keep pushing. And I had shared that with you when we were given that piece. So I just wanted to share with you that it seems like it's turning, the tide's turning a little bit on how that might get addressed at the state level. So we're still not sure you know, what all is going to be a part of that. We've had a couple of convenings. They've had the work board folks together. They had Superintendent Thurman had a session on apprenticeships and really looking for ways to get kids out in the community. And so they're doing the work. There are meetings and things that are happening. So everything hasn't really coalesced yet into even a draft form or anything like that. So as soon as that does happen and there's some consolidated information that goes out, we'll absolutely pass that along to you guys. But that was just kind of the latest update that we had heard at our most recent meeting. So I just wanted to pass that bit of information along to you. In that same meeting with our advocates, a lot of conversation about the budget, state budget, what those deficits look like, and the rainy day fund, and what, you know, what they're hearing the governor may be looking at, or legislation may be looking at to try to address the state budget. One of the things that we were sad to hear maybe in consideration is the Golden State Pathways Grant. So that was the one-time block money out there that's $500 million. All CTE folks across the state were super excited about having that get rolled out. So our group was saying, you know, that's something that they slow played that. So the first step was to get the regional technical assistant providers selected, and that was delayed. It's been done and it's posted on the website, but that happened later than they initially said. The next step would be to release the RFA so that folks like us could see what the grant's about and what we can apply for, what we can do with it. That has not been released yet, and it's delayed. So unfortunately, those signs kind of play into what our advocates were saying, which is that that new funding stream could potentially be under review at this point for possible sweep to help address the budget. So we'll wait and see on that. It'd be super, super sad if that happened, because that would be a great benefit to CTE across the state, but we understand, you know, what they're doing. But again, I wanted to share that with you as some new information to us, as we were shared just the other day in our coalition meeting.
So the Golden State Pathway Grant, we can no longer really use language like we are in line for it, or we will be considering. Do they give you any idea of timeline?
No.
Or do we just take this off our plate? You know, just as far as, I know you have exceeded the amount of grants you've ever had, which is so exciting. And this was going to be basically icing on the cake.
Yeah, right? This would be an additional revenue.
Yeah, this would be additional. So
yeah.
So it hasn't happened, but right. It was fun to talk about. So that's okay. So it can be parked over here, mm-hmm. and we'll hope. And then what are you guys doing? I know you guys, we talked about this, we pay for lobbyists, right? So are Kevin Gordon, all those guys, what's their feedback going for you?
So the coalition, last time we met, they crafted a letter that went specifically around the executive order and the two pieces there. So the letter that went forth to them were two things. One was that as the state looks at a delivery model for CTE under this new executive order, that there is a model that exists that's been working for 50 years, mm-hmm. and that's the ROP structure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So rather than reinvent the wheel and create something anew, let's augment, let's strengthen, bolster the current system that's been working for so long for so many thousands of students across the years. So that was big piece number one. Big piece number two was simplifying the access to the funds. So addressing the K-12 CTIG combination, addressing the CTIG formula, which we don't have, we can't have, they won't give it to us. So there are mystery components within the CTIG formula, so we can't project what we're going to get. So every year it's a surprise whether you're going to have your full budget or they're going to cut you by. I mean, the list came out yesterday. I'm going to share that here in a second. There's some ROPs that literally got cut in half, and that's just going to be devastating to those organizations. So those kinds of things are surprises. So that was the other piece of the letter that went to simplify that. We're also taking overhead off the top because multiple agencies are taking overhead as if it was one. That's more money that could go to the classroom. So calling out some of those examples. So the coalition put that together, and that was the feedback that our group provided in support of that. There hasn't been any current conversation within that group about doing anything as a coalition in terms of support for the Golden State Pathways Grant. I know our lobbyists are actively supporting that, so when they talk to the folks at the state, the language is it is needed. We need to preserve that if at all possible, the benefits that level of funding can do for students and for ROPs and other agencies is very important. So that is what they're trying to do in terms of their conversations, but there's not a consolidated effort yet to actually lobby for or against in this case. So
that's separate from Prop 98 funding, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. They threw in like Prop 28, and you know, some of that they've only put out portions of that. So said there's, I mean, basically they're doing what every good agency does in fiscal hard times, right? You start taking a look at what's on the table,
right,
and make decisions on what you can go forward with and what you can't. What our group did say is the language that they're hearing so far is stuff that's out the door. They're not that hasn't been a conversation yet. So K-12 strong workforce, those amounts are supposed to come out Friday. CTIG amounts came out yesterday. So that's out the door, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So that hasn't been a part of the conversation, like they would be pulling back on that. It's all the monies that hasn't gone out the door yet, like the Golden State. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure how Prop 28 is getting rolled out completely. I think they did like a wave, and then like the second piece of that, that's under potential review as well. So they're just, I think at this point, they're just trying to figure out where they're really at and what they can really do about it. So we'll just,
that's why we have great reserves.
Yeah.
Good.
Exactly.
Okay. Great reserves.
So our CTIG amount, those amounts were released, like I said, yesterday, while we were actually in our meeting. So our award was just about $2,000 short of $3 million. So we were $2,998 and change. That's down from last year, $197,000. And remember, last year we were down about 80,000 from the year prior. So unfortunately, there's a statewide trend of that funding shrinking a little bit. And there's several factors that play into that. Primarily, a big piece of the CTIG formula is ADA. So as we are experiencing declining enrollment, it negatively affects the formula for us. So overall in Orange County, the total allotments in Orange County were reduced, everyone combined, by about 9.5%. So it was 9.5%. Yeah, 9.5% in all the organizations in Orange County that get CTIG. So it was interesting. They put it out. It's on the state website. If you go down the list, you can just see everybody that cut. I mean, our friends Coastline and North Orange ROPs, which are our sister ROPs here. One lost like 480 and one lost 300, which is almost half of their allotments respectively. So it was tough.
But in general, CCA is the winner, right?
In general, we got cut.
You get
less
we
compared.
Get the money.
And our.
You're at almost 3,000, right?
Almost 3 million.
3 million.
Yeah. Our award was the 14th highest in the state.
Yeah, where OCDE and North Coast are nowhere close.
And our numbers increased this year. The last 2 years, they've increased of our students in the classes, right?
They do, but that doesn't factor into the CTIG formula. It's mostly based on ADA. The numbers of kids in CTIG classes is a different piece.
But what happened? Explain the difference then.
We apply. We use ADA from the district, like the whole.
Oh, the whole district.
Yeah.
Not just CCA.
Right.
I see.
So those and those numbers are given to us from the state. They're pre-populated in the system, so that comes out of backside reports that the district sends to the state.
And is our percentage of students in CCA, is it higher than in other districts?
It isn't. It's hard to. I don't have that specific metric. I can't give you a straight one to one. So, for example, North Orange has about 16,000 individual students, as where we have about 6. But they serve multiple districts. So, you know, high schools only have a program or two, versus like our high school program have 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So we have higher access mm-hmm. to programs for sure, mm-hmm. but in terms of a specific ratio, that would take a while to dig, but mm-hmm. I don't have that on top of my list, sorry.
A little bit on this subject. One of the classes I went to at the conference was actually for small school districts, which Capital is not, mm-hmm. but they talked about the dual enrollment part, and a number of those have every student that comes into ninth grade, they just automatically enroll them in a college class. So they automatically get a college class. Mm-hmm. And it gives a lot of those students who are from more working backgrounds the courage and feel and the confidence to go on to college. And when they do their graduations there, the superintendent will say, everyone who has taken a college class, stand up. Everybody stands up and claps, and then how many have taken 3? And they have quite a few. I mean, they do a lot of things to help kids with that. That have a year, and a number of kids that have 2 years and get their AA at the same time. But I think it's an interesting concept to make sure that every student takes class through community college.
Yeah, and I know that's a goal that some of the other departments in CUSD have, is really looking hard at ways to broaden opportunities for students for that, in that way, for sure.
We have some ongoing conversations with IBC through Dr. Pritchard, and some different opportunities, and obviously it's a value, and his expertise for Dr. Brown from Long Beach. You know, so you've got some really interesting ways to partner.
Yeah.
And in fact, at the groundbreaking today at Dan Hills, guess who showed up? The president of Saddleback.
Nice.
So there you go. So maybe they're realizing they don't care, but that they do need our students.
Yeah.
They want us.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And we're excited about having Trustee Pritchard on part of our, because he has that strong lens from the other side.
TK through 14.
Be a big benefit for us, for sure. So, talking about all that, I mentioned K-12 gets released on Friday, so we'll know how we did there as well. All that said, with the overall budget climate with the state and, the way things are going, so, we're following suit, that everybody's in, so we're taking a look at our programs and looking, as we do every year, for any ways that we can tighten up a little bit and become more efficient. So that's a normal process that we go through, so we'll be doing the same thing so that we make sure that we stay ahead of the curve as much as absolutely possible, so that we continue to maintain and keep the organization in good order. So that'll be something that we'll get started on right away as well. A couple things just real quick, and then we got to get to the auditor, because
we've got less than 5 minutes. Got 4 minutes.
Is there any way to restart that?
Yeah, I can send her another link.
Yeah, could you try to do that? Because 4 minutes is not going to be enough for her to do what she needs to do for us, I don't believe.
Kathy, do you have the 40-minute limit on your Zoom?
Okay, so I'll do this while Kathy's trying to restart that. Just a reminder, we have our adult graduation tomorrow. We're going to have it here in the CUSD boardroom. For our adult students, that is at 10:30. So if you're able to make it, that would be wonderful. We would love to have you. I think Dr. Brown is going to try to make time to come down and be there for that. I think it was right around 90 students that we have this year that are graduating from our adult program. Then our surgical teacher needed a little bit more time with his crew, so his crew will be great. We'll do something special for them in a few months when they finish up there. So. Real proud of that group. Dom does a fantastic job heading up the adult program for us. And then the last two pieces I have for you are the Teacher of the Year, big secret, not outside the room because we haven't told anybody else yet, but that's Mr. Alvarez, Juan Alvarez. He is our pharmacy tech teacher. Does a great job. Just, oh my gosh, you feel it when you go in his class. He's got a huge personality, a monster smile on his face all the time. Kim, you know him. You want to share some more about Mr. Alvarez? You know him probably better than all of us do.
Mr. Alvarez and I go back 25 years. he was my first class of adult students in my class. So we were. So he went through my class. I had no kids at the time. He was at my first baby shower, so he has to go way back. He just was so never missed a day, always on time, the perfect student. He only missed one day of class, and he came ahead because he had to get his swearing and become an American citizen. Mm-hmm. So he became a citizen. I actually took him under my wing, took him to the hospital that I worked at, and because I wanted him to get a really good job because he had done such a great job, got a job working at the hospital that I worked at, then went off to get other jobs after that, and we always kept in contact. I would call and send him students. And then when it was time to find a second teacher, because my program had grown so much, I said, Mr. Alvarez is the one that should be teaching. And I reached out to him, and he started teaching and has taught high school and adults all for the next, I guess, about 20 years now. So yeah, we go way back, but yes, his students are, they love him. He has a big personality. He's always happy, always in a good mood, joking, standing out there at 7 in the morning watching the kids come in. Directing traffic. He's well deserved.
He's the life of the campus.
Yes,
over
he
there
is.
At the adult campus. He really is. And it's, you look at, we talk about the programs, how great they are and all that, but when you see Mr. Alvarez with the students and all that student engagement, not just with his class, but with all the students on the campus, it's really great. It's something awesome. You've got to see in person. And if you guys are able to come to the graduation, you'll see it firsthand.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We do offsite events in promotion of the adult program sometimes, and we ask that our teachers come and man the tables to talk to prospective students. Juan always has 10, 15 of his students that volunteer their time and come just because of him. They just want to support him in the program. Yeah. So
you know what you should do is, I can do it for you. We should, once he's announced, right, to have the CUSD insider about what adult education and about Mr. Alvarez do a little showcase moment. I'm happy. You guys,
we
do reach out to Ryan.
We are doing it. Jill is going on vacation.
Okay.
Tomorrow's her last day, but she's shared with Nicole and I the Google Doc to send to him once we announce it. Mm-hmm. And then that Google Doc, she then, her and Jimmy,
perfect,
write
thank
up
you.
An article for it. Yeah, so we're ready. We're ready. Yeah. I actually recently went in and subbed for him because he has been having some medical issues. He's actually had to start dialysis. And so he was going to miss, and I said, I'll go back in because that was my background, right, pharmacy. So I was like so excited to go back in the classroom and get to be around the students again, and his students were great, and they love him. And you know when you go in a class where there's a teacher that's doing the right stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And that's
sure.
him, yeah.
He's awesome.
And then the last announcement we have is our classified employee of the year. And that is another wand that we have, but this one's Gutierrez.
Requirement.
It's like a 24 requirement.
We had a theme for this year, yeah. So Juan is our, what is Juan? Juan is our warehouse guy, our delivery guy, our setup guy, our move guy, our, hey, can you help me hang this guy? Anything and everything that teachers need in their classrooms. He's there. So if you see the CCA truck ever running around campus or running around town or anything like that, it's Juan that drives it. I think I've driven it once just around the block when we first got it to try it. Has anybody else driven it?
No.
You've driven it. Okay, so that's it. It's pretty much Juan's truck. So he takes great care of it. But yeah, Juan is fantastic. Juan's been with us 31
years.
Sorry, that's
years.
The other one. Yeah. So 31 years he's been with us. So he works part-time for us, the other...
31
years.
31 years? He works overnight at one of the hotels, security, and then he comes and he works with us during the day. So he's burning the candle at both ends, got some young kiddos, and he's a great dad. And the only thing I can hold against him is he's a Steelers fan, so we're always talking football and each Monday after the weekend. But fantastic guy. I mean, 31 years of commitment to an organization is fantastic, and you couldn't ask for a nicer guy. And a great employee. He's here all the time. He communicates. No job's too big, too small to do. He's GS, whatever you need me to do, just let me know. Fantastic guy. So.
And that's going to be in the CUSD Insider, too.
Okay. All right. So that was what I had for my executive director report. I'm sorry, it went a little long, and we lost our auditor in the process. We're trying to get her back in here. Kathy, can we go forward?
We're
going to
do the
You have to do the nomination.
Okay, if you want to do that. Okay, so at this point... I would like to ask for nominations for president of the CUSD, or excuse me, CCA board.
I nominate Trustee Perry.
Second.
Any other nominations?
No, but you know what, Paul?
Yes,
I have to comment. So I was just kind of thinking about this again, because and I went on our CCA website, so nothing is there for the bylaws of the board, you know, presidents. There's nothing exists for at least what I pulled up. So you were missing, it's not an end-all be-all, I've just been thinking about policies. You're missing like six of them, and the last one is the bylaws of the board, it says pending. So I just was looking, I'm like, oh, well, how does CCA run, and you know, what does CUSD look like, and the role of the president, so on and so forth. So just
okay.
For you to know, there are no policies. There's policies there for children, but you have none whatsoever referencing for board, anything like that.
So what's happening right now is that I'm in the process of updating the policies just to change the name of the organization and the title of the management. So
okay.
The ones that are listed have been updated.
Got it.
So I'm working on the others, I'm just working down the list.
Sure.
I can jump to, it's no, number just, nine.
That's a great explanation. I have no idea. I didn't know if you were rewriting them.
They're not being rewritten because we don't have access to Gamut. So the only thing the prior board gave authorization to was for me to change the management title and the organizational title.
We were bringing them two or three at a time to board meetings, and it was a really slow process. And
sure.
Working with CUSD and how they were doing their updates, they said if we're just changing technical things like...
Yeah, you don't need to bring it to them.
We board. Don't need to bring it. So that's when Kathy just started going through and just doing it wholesale. So.
And we still have a partnership we pay for with CSBA, right? So you have access to CCA like we do?
We do not.
You don't? Okay. Because they have templates.
Yep.
Yes. No, we don't have access to Gamut, so we can't get the updates.
Okay.
That's in, I don't know how much that is, but it's just not.
Yeah, I think it was looked at before and it was really, really expensive, so the decision was made not to do that prior to my call.
And the other thing, too, is that when I spoke with them, they really cater to school districts and not to ROPs. So that was the issue
that they
told me.
Right, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Too much money. Okay, so we need were there any other nominations? Okay, so do we need a vote for that?
Yes.
Yes.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. All right. So at this point...
So, Dee, do you want to ask for elections, nominations for a vice president?
I would like to nominate Mike Barnum for vice president.
Second.
First and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Then it passes by 5-0.
All right. So do we have her back?
I'm going to get her back right now.
So before I turn it over, we would ask that we move item number 9 to the front, which is our auditor, so that we can hear from her and she can get about her day.
Item number nine.
Motion by Amy, second by Dee.
Valerie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great.
We can hardly hear her.
Yeah, we'll crank it up. I know. Give it the best we can.
That's it, Max. We're trying to see if we can bump it up, but we're at max right now.
Yeah, can you talk? Try and talk again?
Yes.
Okay. Try. Sorry, guys.
You turned off the freezing air conditioner.
10
degrees in here.
Yeah, it's as high as it goes.
100%.
Which is weird. So you can see who you're talking to.
Makes it a little easier.
Go for it.
So this is our audit firm, Christy White. This is Valerie Shaw. She's going to be presenting our 22-23 audit report.
Great. It's great to be here. I'm happy to see everyone. As she said, I'm Valerie Shaw. I'm Executive Senior Director with Christy White, and I'm the manager responsible for your audit. I'm happy to report we had no audit findings and no audit adjustments, so fantastic job to everyone there, and fantastic news for you all, of course. There were no major changes. There was a new GASB implementation in 22-23, and it was related to subscriptions and kind of changed how those get accounted for, but there were no significant subscriptions for the ROP, so we didn't have to change anything in the audit report with regard to that. There's no major debt issuances that had to be included in the report. The big one is obviously still the pension liability with CalPERS and CalSTRS and the outrageous amounts there. If you're comparing from last year to this year, you'll see that in last year's report, there was a significant drop in both the CalPERS and the CalSTRS liabilities. And then that's kind of rebounded a little bit, and those liabilities have risen again, not quite to the level that they were in 2020, but they've gone back up again. And those are all really related to the market and the financial economy that really is influencing those investments that CalPERS and CalSTRS has. So the liability fluctuates with those amounts. Otherwise, there's no significant changes that I need to tell you about. We didn't have any difficulties we didn't encounter any difficulties doing the audit. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Doesn't look like it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melanie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Valerie.
You're very welcome.
So, can we have a motion?
I move. That was Trustee Parr.
Second?
And that was me.
Hannah Chick.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. So, we'll go back to consent. Item six? Okay. Anything else, Amy?
Nope, that's it.
Anyone else? Okay, so we'll pull item six and discuss it after your consent's been approved.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So you want us to me to move the balance?
Sure.
Okay, I'll move the balance. I shouldn't be doing this. D's president. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Just sit at the end and do my thing.
Can we have a second?
So I'll move the balance on consent.
Okay, and second?
Second.
Roll call, Trustee Hanacek.
Aye.
Trustee Parham.
Aye.
Trustee Davis.
Aye.
Trustee Kelly.
Aye.
Trustee Perry, did I miss you? Trustee Davis.
Aye.
You got it.
Okay, good. I had to scratch out names here. So, Amy, you want to discuss item number six?
Yeah, I just have a couple. It sounds very exciting. So, number six, just walk me through this. Are these adding sections?
No.
So, this is adding people, because it's just kind of circling back in light of the email that went out, right? So, when we're freezing everything, what does this mean, right, when we add on more people? So, walk me through what's really happening with number six.
These are actually not ads. These are the annual MOU, just like the same thing happens on the CUSD side. So these two teachers have been
already doing
exactly what they're doing.
Okay.
And there's no change in financial obligation in any way. It's just reauthorizing that MOU with Laguna for the following year.
Okay, then I move the item. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We will move to single budget adoption. Item number 10.
I don't have any questions. I move single budget adoption.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mel, first interim?
First interim report. Good morning, everybody. To our esteemed colleagues and career advantage board members, it is again my privilege to present for your consideration College and Career Advantage's first interim reporting budget for fiscal year 23-24. This updates at first interim reflects the fiscal year 22-23 actuals that were just talked about and information that was available to CCA staff through October 31st. Of fiscal year 23-24. And as I usually like to say, everything that I'm about to highlight is already in our board packet in the 59-page detailed SACS report, and then the summarized outline in the memo of 4 pages, and I'll go over it in about 2 pages. So, I'll just go through the highlights that I believe that we need to mention. And the first thing I want to mention that I believe is the most important to note to consider is the section that's projected financial conditions, which is actually the second to last section in the memo that at this time of first interim reporting, staff is projecting that TTA will be in a positive financial position for this year, as well as the two substantial or subsequent financial years. The updated projected overall current budget for 23-24 increased from the adopted budget to a little over $6.8 million, with expenditures projected now to be about $7.5 million, which utilizes $686,000 of the little over $3 million from the beginning fund that includes our 2023 carryover and the reserves, resulting in a projected ending fund balance to be at about $2.3 million at the end of the year. So the revenue changes from the adopted budget that we had discussed in June to the current budget netted to an increase of about $93,000 for revenue. This reflected all of the changes from the CTA carryover that decreased by about $400,000 and the increase of the carryover of K-12 strong workforce of about $315,000.
So give those numbers again. So they're about a wash?
Yeah.
Okay. A push, a wash.
And we got a little new grant of the adult education program for English language learners for about $144,000, and then a little grant from the OCU Regional Consortium of about $30,000. So, like I said, it netted about
$93,000. Okay.
And then our expenditures increased from adopted budget by about $332,000 because with the carryover of the K-12 money, it was pass-through money to the district, so that increases those expenses. So that was the most significant increase to the expenses, which was a little over $391,000 of that increased expense. And then we had benefits increase for CalSTRS for about $27,000, CalSTRS and a few other benefits increased for $27,000, and capital outlay, which was some resulting COVIDs that spilled over from the end of last year into this year. But we're pretty much all wrapped up with all the projects that we had planned, and they're all pretty much done. So dipping more into the COVID, that was already planned, so it had changed. And then there were some decreases in salaries for positions that we may not fill for $35,000, a net decrease in books and supplies for about $12,000, and a decrease for the projects and professional services for about $100,000. So that was the whole but as a reminder, the COVID supplemental beginning fund balance was about $2.7 million that we carried over from last year, but it's considered restricted funds, so that doesn't really carry over. And so on the tax report, it does show that, that CCA is technically deficit spending because the $686,000 that we're using of that reserve or that funding isn't in unrestricted because they only count the unrestricted funds for our reserves.
So just backing up, because that was one of my questions, so we'll talk about the COVID. So for both years, it was about $5 million that looks like we're deficit spending. No?
Deficit spending by $5 million. Because this year we were
for both years.
This year we were deficit spending by $686,000. Next year we're not deficit spending.
Okay. And that's because of the COVID.
The COVID, the reserve that we, because we had 2.7 and we want to keep 2. So okay. 686 of that is still coming out for this year.
And I think I'm just recharging our memories. Overall, didn't CCA got about $97
million? No. My brain wants to.
That's all right.
16, I believe, was the full amount. Why does that number not sound right?
No, it's 9.
It was 9. Sorry, that's not right. It was 9 million.
Nine, so that's why.
So 9 of that was. It was 16 for that whole year, but 9 of that was.
Okay, bear with me. I'm slightly dyslexic when it comes to numbers. So
apparently you got me dyslexic.
Sorry.
I'm like, wait, that doesn't
sound right. Yeah, my husband goes nuts. How much was those pork chops? Well, they were.
So that's why it's reflecting that we're going to still keep the $2 million that we were planning on doing, but it looks like we're deficit spending because we had 2.7 and we want to keep 2. So we're just spending off the rest of the remaining projects that we had planned for the COVID funding for this year, which was all part of the plan that we had set up back in 2021 that we're just utilizing
now. Mm-hmm.
And then also because of that, on the SACS report, it says that CCA is not meeting the 5% of the unrestricted reserves. We are at 4.5, and last year at this time we were at 1.95. So we are increasing our unrestricted reserves, and we're still trying to plan, or we are planning to still increase it, but it doesn't get reflective until we actually do our unaudited actuals, what it actually ends up at, when everything is said and done, because the budget is reflecting things that are in the future, and it can't tell you what you're going to be starting off next year with until you're actually final.
No, and on my apologies, you went over the material and supplies.
Yes.
So it went down, right, our spending
about,
on that?
Yeah, about 12,000, just netted. It was an increase in the...
So materials went down this year?
Yes.
Okay. And
projected for right now.
You just decide, okay.
Yeah, projected on based on what we're spending right now so far, where we will probably be at the end of the year.
Okay.
It's gone down.
Okay.
And based on the revenue that we've received. We have not included, and that's actually going to my next step, we have not included the K-12 Strong Workforce Grant in this because
okay.
I did,
right.
we
that's
did
right.
not get the actual dollar
right.
amount
okay.
of that by October 31st, which is the deadline for this reporting. However, as you mentioned, today, tomorrow, we'll probably find out our actual amount of what the full award is, but it's not included in this. So, of course, all of that information will be readdressed when we meet in March, when I give you the second interim, and that will include those and updated.
But this week we're going to have a little glimpse, right?
Exactly. So that's why it kind of looks like we're tight as usual, because we haven't included that extra funding that we have been told that we're getting. We just fiscally responsibly, we don't report it until
right.
the end of the game.
Right.
And since we're a couple months behind on the reporting and things like that, that's what ends up happening. Yeah, but what I did mention that we are bumping up that unrestricted reserve so that box where it says unmet doesn't come up anymore. That's the goal, to keep it between the 5 and the 10% that we're allowed to have in there. We're building it, but it
okay.
won't be reflective officially until when I present unaudited actuals next year. It'll show the actual amount, but that's
mm-hmm.
the prediction, and that's what our desire is. We want to have more in there.
Okay.
As I've reviewed here and everything that's in our budget, CCA is projecting to have a positive certification for 23-24 and the subsequent following 2 years. But if you have any questions, please feel free to let
sorry,
me know.
Sorry, I was jumping in. Sorry.
It's all good. I'm good with it. But it is my recommendation at this time for the governing board to approve College and Career Advantage's first interim reporting for 23-24 as presented. And please.
Comments, and you
yeah.
actually addressed them.
Okay.
But just so that I kind of understand,
yeah.
do we typically try to stay above 5%, even though the state requirement is
3%? That's where I've talked about in other years. The requirement for us is 3%. We have never been able to actually meet it, so us being at 4%, it's like, yay, we did it. But of course, on the SAC reporting, it says we haven't met it. So it has been a goal of the district to at least not have that being something that's glaring, so that is why we do. But we're doing the best that we can to try and get it to there, because we have that GASB, I can't remember which number it is, 35 or something, 68, that keeps changing our amounts at the end of the year when it reflects what the interest is. The year before last, it dropped us all down. Every district went down, and we ended up looking like we had nothing. That's why it was at 1.95.
Yeah.
But because at the end of last year, it actually increased by about 49,000, it actually bumped us up to the 4%. So that's that weird, yeah. And that we had a lot of money in there that we were getting interest on, so that was helpful.
Okay.
That is something that kind of messes with the unrestricted balance.
And then on, it looks like there's a one-time spend on a bunch of books, and how often do we do those types of one-time spends?
For like textbooks specifically?
Like 400,000 or so.
It cycles when, you know, there's a big curriculum change.
Like once every 10 years or once every
yeah,
10
Yeah, big
years.
Stuff like that would,
yeah.
it doesn't change.
It
more
could
than,
last for a while.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, textbooks we try to push as long as we can. Mm-hmm. And more and more they're going digital, so my personal belief is to hold off on textbooks if at all possible, knowing full well that a digital resource is more accessible to kids in most cases, so we only buy books when we feel it's absolutely necessary.
I just hate when you have to do a one-time expenditure on something, but then it happens every year. So
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No,
textbooks
yeah.
isn't one of our biggest
no.
ones.
No.
When we add a class or something new comes up, there'll be something. But
yeah, if we add something, there's
most
new
of stuff.
COVID money is a perfect example of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's it's a 3-year, 4-year type spend, even though it messes up your delineation
right.
between
right.
restricted and unrestricted. So
right.
I get that. and I also noticed that there are a lot of areas where there's absolutely no change whatsoever. And I presume by the second interim, then you'll have all that updated.
Exactly. There were a few changes to reflect how things are going right now, but of course that was all the way through October.
Yeah.
And that's only 3 months into the school year. So things will be adjusted based on the revenue that we get and the actual expenses that we've received.
And I would definitely encourage
you. But it is projecting to be as accurate as we can up to that point.
And I think 23-24 is fine. It's in the books, basically, but I'm worried about 25
exactly.
and beyond.
Yeah.
And so I'd encourage you to spend time with our
yep.
fiscal services folks and get on the same page with
the plan. Yeah, we have been delving into it more.
Yeah, we actually have a pending meeting to
yeah.
do that very thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with the one meeting budget approval, hopefully we can get that information, you know, more than a week or two beforehand, and so we
yeah.
can have some time to digest it. I hate jumping in like a day before and saying, oh yeah, I'm fine with it. I'd like a few weeks, maybe even special meetings, maybe onesies and twosies or whatever you guys call it, budget update kind of thing.
Yeah,
so that would
yeah,
be in like,
sure.
Would that be before March, or is it the June meeting where you?
June is when we present the adopted budget for the next fiscal
so
year.
So before June.
March will probably have an update on what we're projecting to be.
So maybe
be
maybe in May, some kind of onesies and twosies kind of meetings. Because that's for late, let's say early June, because that's when we're going to know the numbers for the state. Anything before May is kind of useless, right?
Right.
So if you know what's going on.
But other than that, yeah, fine. Thanks for your presentation.
Yeah, we can put together small meetings like that. It's not a structure that we've used before, but we learned from COSD that that's something that is typical for them, so we can absolutely employ that.
It just helps us so that we know what to look out for.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Melanie, I just have, so it looked like certificated salaries went up. Is that because of the pay raises we did?
Certificated salaries from adopted budget to now only went up about 4,000.
Hmm.
And that was
okay.
just on one that I may or may
not. And then classified went also,
not
right?
gotten the full amount of what was the. So,
okay.
And then classified went down because of.
Oh, went down?
Yeah. Because we used a cert, I updated how much we actually used for skills assistance. So instead of it being like 20,000, it was like 7,000. And then we have a position that's not being filled right now, so I dropped that out of it for now. Until we decide that what we're doing
when
we
talk about
that position.
Okay. I think
that's
good.
Does your report cover our pension obligations?
It does.
That's something
the
auditor.
Yeah, that was presented at our last meeting about our OPEB, and that was the pension liability. And at this point, we do pay as you go. So there's and we only right now have 4 people that are technically retirees that are paid for, and those per year are less than 3,000 or less than 4,000.
What's the age of those individuals?
That I don't have on the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
always,
like, I don't have that
always to know.
Yeah, and that's pretty much stayed consistent for the last couple of years, so. We haven't been given the new part of what will be on the new will be an update to those amounts that we end up those benefit amounts, and then the other benefits amounts will be updated at our next one because benefits change as of January.
Amazing,
well.
Since 1970, you only have 4.
I don't know. Well, it keeps switching. We have 4, and then one drops, and then another one pops up just to even it out.
So you have a quota, you can only have 4.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a quota.
As one drops off, we allow one more to go ahead and retire. But yeah, that is part of the consideration.
Oh, yeah.
In here, it asks which one it is, and we say that we do the pay-as-you-go. So as the fees are incurred to us, is when we pay them versus having it.
So Melanie, just going through the cycle again. So if when we confirm the audit, and as well as the first interim. These are the things you send to OC or Orange County Department of Ed?
The audit gets sent by the audit firm, and then I'm the one that sends the one.
And you said, and then the first interim is due when?
The Friday.
Okay, so it was due this Friday.
It will be due.
It will be due this Friday. Okay, so that's okay. So, what would happen if we hadn't ratified this? Do they give you extensions? Because this is really a short window here, right?
I know there are things that are involved. I think that we will let them know. But I did, when we were talking about possibly moving the date to the 15th, I was told as long as I sent the electronic version by the 15th, they would approve, they were okay versus just the paper one. But I know there are things, but my brain doesn't want to.
And we always know that around December 15th.
Yeah.
Right.
I would.
We have to get these have tos in with ours with your.
That's the deadline with OCDE. That's their deadline. So I would reach out to them and let them know what was going on.
Well, I mean, that's just that. This will be a discussion.
And there's flexibility on the first interim, and the second one where
right,
you have to be accurate.
Well, and then if you look at. Yeah, and the agenda for board meetings.
The first interim is really just updated, they adopted to what it ended at, unedited actual. That's usually all that looks.
Yeah, the actuals are.
3 months into the new year, you're not going to know everything.
Right, the actuals are being worked out coming in the coming months. Okay.
Okay. That's why it's very minimal changes.
Okay, do you need a motion?
I do.
Okay, I'll move first interim report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now you get to do CalCard.
Oh, CalCard. So, another one that I'm actually happy about. It was brought up that to review, because we have American Express. This is our main form of the credit card with the district, and it was brought to our attention to look into other alternative credit cards. And I was able to get a hold of CalCard. It takes a little bit of a process to get through things, and I just we submitted everything. We were supposed to get the cards this week, but I guess because of the holidays over Thanksgiving, things kind of got backed up. But we have been approved. We are going to get the cards, and we're going to figure out what our actual
We'll migrate off of the American Express onto the CalCard. So the benefit of the CalCard is getting.
We're going to have a dedicated person to talk to when we have questions or concerns, which is great because you can't get that at Amex if you try. There is a 45-day grace period for payments. However, there's an incentive if we pay it earlier that we get a bit of a rebate every quarter. If we pay it this year, we pay it. And there's also a quarterly rebate or incentive based on how much we spend. It fluctuates between 1% and 1.75% as a rebate for back to the district.
So we'll get a little cash back off
of our expenditures.
It's called CalCard. It's through U.S. Bank.
I have to recuse myself on the vote. I work for U.S. Bank.
Let me make sure. Yep.
That's the only reason.
Do you have anything I've heard of? It's U.S. Bank. You are correct. But it's CalCard, but it's issued through U.S. Bank. You are correct.
Just go like this.
I'm not worried about you guys. It's my boss.
The other thing that purchasing and accounts payable is most excited about is their website, because we can have access to it a lot better and more user friendly and geared towards governmental agencies, so that we can pull up the spending that people are making. If we need to cut off a card, we can just click a button and it cuts it off at that moment. Or if we need to raise a limit, lower a limit, things like that. It's much more user friendly than the American Express one. So. My purchasing department maybe is very excited about this. And then at year end, when we're trying to do the crunch to get everything in and paid for, we can make a payment and it'll be all set for last year versus this year.
For us, financially, and I think this was one of the benefits that Ms. Hanchek brought up before, is we get some money back off the expenses that we're putting out there.
I wish I could have had this meeting before my annual review, which is taking credit for it.
It's been a little bit of a slow process, but once it gets going, we'll be able to implement it and get everything going.
Yeah. All
right. Move to 13. That was discussion only.
That was just discussion.
Discussion.
So yes, we have done it.
Item 13, the resolution for setting up board meetings for 24. It's item number.
The only issue I have, Amy kind of addressed it, is making sure there's enough time between the regular board, you know, for CUSD or for the Good Beach reorganization, so that there's an ample time for the new trustee, if that's the case.
That's always the challenge.
And I'm wondering, we're missing two trustees. We're missing Ann and we're missing Gary. Can we table this to setting up? And plus we have the idea that Mike brought up to go ahead. We could possibly go ahead and get on the books a workshop, however we're going to do it. So depending on how we do on the last agenda item, we could bring this back when we have a full board of when we can do these meetings. And then I am concerned about if everything's always due December 15th, and then in light of pandemics and all different things, you could literally not have board for you, you know, because that was our discussion. You said, well, I got to get this work done. And I'm like, wow, it's already this date, right?
Yeah.
So I think we need to give some thought to this. I mean, maybe if you're not ready, maybe there's two meetings in December. One's just a reorg, and one's is the, you know, where you can ratify all your stuff that you need to send up to OCDE. So
also, because I think Laguna Beach, your meetings, your reorg meeting is usually middle of December.
It's in November.
It's early. Yeah, they do theirs in November.
Yeah, we have to chase it and talk to you.
We like the idea of only having one meeting in December. Mm-hmm. So we change that to one.
Yeah, that's sure. That's
right. CUSD could have their. We don't do all our reorganization then. It's only for CCA.
I'll do my best. I've already done the other thing.
Well, I just feel like I'm remiss speaking to someone's availability, of whether it's the time, the dates. I'm
assuming you spoke to the other trustees. They were given this information. Did you speak to the other trustees about dates and times?
No, nothing's been discussed.
For next year.
They're probably fine with it.
No, this is the first time the dates is when they sent this packet.
Yeah, and we can't speak.
So maybe are you going
to
choose?
I can't speak to other board members. It's because of Brown Act violation.
I'm not speaking of you. I'm speaking as if the other trustees spoke to.
We don't have any specific information from them on
this
particular.
That's why I asked that.
The other thought, just knowing Gary's situation potentially, is the potential for having a late afternoon type of meeting,
or even a little earlier in the morning, or whatever. I'm not sure. Again, can't speak for him.
Probably shared that information with you.
I don't think there's been any onboarding or anything for the new board members.
No, I reached out to set a meeting to determine everybody's time-wise to see if we could find some time, but that's coming. But yeah, at this point, prior to this meeting, we haven't had any conversation about the dates.
I'll second the motion.
Have this
just table this item.
We don't have timelines on that, do we?
I have to file a statement of facts by, I think, January 4th, and part of that is when we're going to have our organizational meeting in December of 24.
So we need to figure out
that. So we're required to have that posted, to turn that in by January.
Well, the other thing to do is we can keep the December 20th meeting.
And change it.
And put table this to and any other items.
Are you looking to change the December 18th to December 20th?
No. This month's agenda item.
I see.
18. Just we keep that meeting.
Just hold it, then we can always change.
We hold it, and so any hanging fruit we have here, we could then have on the 20th. I know you don't want to have two in December, but with new board members.
So we'll table this item, Amy.
I know I won't be there. Maybe Jim can come.
This year or next year?
This year. December 20th.
And what day of the week is it?
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Because I thought you'd come.
Yeah, okay, great.
So we're going to table this item, and we're going to have a meeting on the 20th of December.
This month.
We might only have this item to put on
the agenda. Will that be at 9 in the morning?
If Laguna can make it here at 9, yeah, perfect.
And then staff can reach out to each board member between now and then and get their best.
Yeah.
response.
You know, and even, I don't know if it's necessary or not, but the financial, you know, discussion, unless you have time, again, that you're one-on-one onboarding a new trustee. So, you know, that could be added on the 20th, or we just simply do this meeting dates and maybe anything else.
I'm going to need to go by noon, so if you need anything for me to vote on otherwise.
Oh, today? Okay.
We would have a quorum if you left.
You will or not?
We will.
Oh.
Because we'll have the four.
Super.
So we'll be fine.
Thank you. It was always lovely seeing you. I love the work that you're doing. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. I appreciate it.
We didn't get to introduce ourselves.
So nice. Same here.
Merry Christmas.
Holidays,
yeah.
You
got goodies.
Okay, so 13 is pulled, tabled, and then we're going to have that item, we'll discuss that item on the 20th.
And I'm sorry, I missed the motion in the second.
He moved to table it. Okay,
and
you seconded. Okay. Yeah, but I didn't do official motion.
Okay.
All right.
Move on to resolution number 2, item 14. Authorization of signatures.
Second.
I have a question. Do we ever, so you've got president and vice president to do signatures. In your side and your side of the aisle, do you have another backup person for you?
Kim.
Okay, Kim. Got it. Okay.
So can we do a roll call for that? Okay, Trustee Hanacek?
Aye.
Trustee Parham?
Aye.
Trustee Davis?
Aye.
And Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Okay, resolution number 3, authorization of title change. Item 15.
I would move to table this item as well for the 20th.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, and we have a consensus. So, Amy Hanacek, yes?
Yes, thank you.
Trustee Parham?
Yes.
Trustee Perry?
Yes.
Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Okay. So, item 16, deletion of the lottery board policy that no longer applies to CCA.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And one absent. Okay. Item 17, approval of the 23-24 organizational goals.
You know, I would like to, since we're creating a more robust agenda for all board members, I would like to table that one as well for the 20th. That
okay.
way we can have a coherent conversation with Anne and everybody here.
I second you're not going to be here and as long as they're tabled. Mm-hmm. Sure, you won't be here.
Sure.
So we have a vote of 4-1, one absentee.
To table the 17.
You didn't ask the vote
yet. You didn't ask the vote on this one.
Hmm?
I don't think you asked the vote for this one yet.
She seconded it. You seconded it. So we now we vote.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so 18 is mute. We'll just
move to.
Not
cancel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I second to not cancel. We don't want
to cancel. Okay. Do we have any board comments?
Looking forward to it. Glad to be here. I think we've awesome work being done and even better work to come. Unfortunately, we have a financial environment that's not looking so great, so hopefully we can steer the ship in the best way possible.
And I add my two cents, and I want to thank you all for the work that you do. You make us all so proud. It's service for kids, and I'm looking forward to we can weather any financial storm as long as it's not off the backs of students. Mm-hmm. So we look in house first, and go from there. So really, really appreciate it. And I do not, I'm not actually sick. This is why I've done
this. New look.
And everybody have, well, good to see you on the 20th.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Lisa?
Moved it.
And I second.
Amy Hanicek?
Seconded it.
Okay, we're a vote of 4-1.
Yes.
Can I leave this with you, please?
Absolutely.
And in the future, I'm happy to get an electronic copy if that's not burdensome, but it is.